This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
News about the Cavaliers wanting to bring a WNBA team to Northeast Ohio. We're going to dig more into that. Already talked about it some. We'll dig more into that a little bit later on. Andrew Siciliano, play-by-play man for the Browns, was just with us. And I asked him, has Jameis done a little bit more with the idea of possible Browns starting quarterback next year? And I thought Andrew was, I think, right on the money when he said, I think he's put himself on the radar as somebody's starting quarterback next year.
I think that's fair.
I do too.
He is auditioning for the entire NFL right now. That's what he's doing. And, you know, you keep putting up 300-yard games, and I don't know, maybe somebody sees him with a different offensive line. I mean, he's got a home for the next couple of years as a backup. There's no question about that. Someone's going to want him.
He could be in the league for another decade as a backup quarterback.
Yeah, I could see that. I don't know. You keep throwing up 300-yard games. The difficulty is not getting over 20 points, but, I mean, how much can you do?
I know.
How much more do you want? And he didn't throw any interceptions.
Yeah.
I think that shouldn't – for a guy that gets ripped, oh, he throws a lot of interceptions. All he does is throw interceptions. I mean, he didn't throw any last week. And there was maybe, what, two plays where maybe he could have been picked? But I think every quarterback in the NFL has two plays in every game.
Where maybe you could get picked.
Or yeah. Where you see the defensive back just – with their hands on their head going, oh, why didn't I intercept that? That happens every game.
Over the last three games played, and this is just when Jameis has, you know, been the starter, second most passing yards in the NFL behind Joe Burrow. Now, there are issues here. You're not scoring points. And you just said that, Andy.
That's a problem.
Is that all on him? No, but it partially is on the quarterback, don't you think?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's 6 points he easily could have had if his field goal kicker would have put it through the uprights playing inside of a dome. Come on, man.
Well,
that
there
can't
is that.
Happen.
But second most passing yards. And, you know, it's not even close once you get past the top couple of guys. Looking for touchdowns thrown, he's not too far down that list either. He's thrown 6 touchdowns in 3 games.
His numbers have been good.
He's thrown 3 interceptions in 3 games.
Jeff, the offensive line looks better with him.
Well, it does. I think the offensive line might look better because it's a little healthier, Andy, but I think the main reason it looks better is just what you said. Jameis is getting rid of the ball. He's staying in the pocket. They know where he is. He's not running around. You know, it seems to me if I'm one of the deep thinkers in Berea and I'm thinking that I'm going to be back next year, which, of course, that's still up in the air as well, I'm not eliminating this guy from my thought process. I'm thinking he could be the guy that we have and use until we find somebody who we think might be long-term or until he proves to us that he's that guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, what's long-term? 5 years?
Here?
I mean,
in Cleveland?
Exactly.
As a quarterback?
Exactly.
How about just play a 17-game season all the way through?
If the guy plays like he's been playing now over an extended period of time, I ask this, and folks, let me know, 216-474-0092, what more do you want? What more do you want?
I don't know that he can do anything more.
The way Jameis has played in the last three games, and again, small sample size, but the way he's played in the last three games is, would you agree with this or no? As well as Baker Mayfield played here. And I'm not saying anything bad about Baker. He had some great moments here.
Yeah,
but the way that Jameis has played in the last three, that's as good a quarterback play as we had with Baker.
I agree.
Because I think they both had some nice moments.
And if they could get in the end zone a little bit, it'd be the same as Flacco.
Exactly.
I mean, all three of those guys have given you something a little bit more. Flacco had something, though. There was just something different about Flacco as far as the perception and I'm trying to think of the word. Instant pudding is probably the word.
The feel around it.
Yeah, it was a feel.
It was a warm and fuzzy hug, Andy. You had a 39-year-old guy who was out of the league who steps in and lights it up.
And everyone was into it, though. It's like, right. Even with Baker, there was just like a little strife here, a little strife there. You'd hear little nuggets of information.
That was an easy story to root for, though, with Flacco.
Yeah, well, I believe his teammates believed in him. And I think, I don't think you have guys questioning when they come back to the huddle on what we're going to do. They bought into what Flacco was doing. And, what I was told was Berea has never been better attitude-wise and locker room-wise than they were when Flacco was running the show last year. Hmm. I was told that.
That's interesting. Cool Ray is in Bedford. Hi, Cool Ray.
Cool Ray.
Hey, what's up, fellas? How you guys doing?
Good.
First, let me say this about the Cavs. Great job, guys.
Season's over, though, isn't it? Feels like it's over.
Yeah, but you know what? But
I'm just kidding. Come on.
So, you know what? But before I get to my Browns take, I'm going to say this. Garland, you do some soul searching, man, because, Kobe said it right. In big games, you got to step up. You got to step up. There's no reason you should go 4 for 20 or 3. No reason, period. And you were wide open to some shots, so no reason. Now, to the Browns, I don't think Jameis Winston's doing anything to make people go, he's the guy. I think with him, we know what he is. Given the situation, he can give you good games, but he's going to give you equal number of interceptions. If he starts the whole, he'll give you 20 touchdowns, but he's going to give you 20 interceptions. I think that his experience.
I don't think that's fair, Cora. He had one season where he had numbers like that. We had the 33 and the 30.
But what you see him with his play here is that he gets in his own way. Like, he will get cocky and give you maybe 4 or 5 balls that should be intercepted. They're just not. So
that might have happened in the first game. Do you not think he's played fairly well for three games?
I think he's done a really decent job comparable to what we've seen. But what I'm saying, but to hold him on his own, I don't think that we should go for another quarterback. I think that because of the money situation, I think that pieces and parts need to be done to put Deshaun Watson back out here. If he wants to come back, those are closed doors meetings that should be happening. And that's when I think that's what we should be doing. Maybe because it's not going to make sense to lose our own money, lose our own draft picks, and don't bring him back unless he tells them behind closed doors, I don't want to come back. I mean, we have to do what's best for the city, best for the team, best for the franchise. But to believe that this man don't know how to play football is a stretch. Now, if he don't want to be here for whatever reason, that's different. If he's not a good leader, that's different.
All right, Cool Ray, thank you. I think you need to sit back, Browns fans, and watch this and look at Jameis Winston now. And we don't know the answer yet.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know it yet. I've always liked him. You know that. But we don't know the answer yet. But can you look at him without dwelling on 30 interceptions in 1 year? I mean, guys are supposed to get better.
Yeah, well, games like last week make me not want to think about that. Right?
Yeah.
He didn't throw a pick last week.
Guys can get better.
Almost 400 yards. If you can get that kind of performance out of any quarterback in the NFL, you've got an opportunity to win every week. It's just, you got to cross the finish line. You can't walk away with less than 21 points.
I would agree with that. And we'll see. But I just, I mean, look at the situation here. Look at the guy who's been, he's had 200-300 yard passing games so far. If he puts up 300 yards in half of the final games, well, doesn't that tell you something?
Yeah.
I
hope that
there are worse options, right?
I could go back and watch last week's game and go, okay, let's see what he's got. Let's see what he's got next year. And because I don't see them drafting a quarterback in this next draft. So they're going to need a quarterback for next season. And if they can hang on to him, I don't know how much – somebody might come in and offer him a lot more money than the Browns
well,
do. That's the problem.
That's why I wouldn't mind jumping now and saying, hey, do you like it here? Because we like you. And let's sign for even just one more year.
Yeah, just add another year to the contract.
You know, and then there's your option for next year if you want such a thing. I think it's interesting, and I think it's something that they should probably do, if not now, later, because as Andy said, I think you're going to need somebody next year. 216-474-0092. What are your eyes telling you about this guy? Is he the same guy that he was? Is he not the same guy that he was? It's interesting to me, and I've used the word interesting too often here because that's the word that just jumps into my mind when I think about Jameis Winston and this football team. What have your eyes been telling you, Browns fans? And are you able to look at Jameis Winston through different eyes than maybe reputation before he got here? Reputation was he throws interceptions like crazy. He did in 1 year. Other than that, he's thrown interceptions. He threw them like crazy in 1 year. There's no question. But what have your eyes told you about these three games and a possible future in Cleveland for this guy? Angelo is in North Royalton. Angelo?
Hi, Angelo.
Hey, guys. Listen, Jameis, I think he's like going to be best as a backup. He's done the same thing wherever he's been. He's had good games and done well. But the biggest problem is he's not getting the W's. You have all the yards you want and all the good, you know, stats you want, but you need to get the W's.
So he's had three chances at it, and he has one of those so far.
Right, but I'm just saying, you know, it's like he's got decent stats for a backup and a good veteran presence. He brings a lot of motivation to the team, but I think we need to find another quarterback. But let me ask you this:
yep.
If you had a quarterback that threw 72%, 2,200 yards, 16 touchdowns, and 5 interceptions, with 2 of those being like halftime throws. At the end of the halftime, wouldn't that be an interesting prospect for you?
Give me the name.
Drew Aller.
Oh, yeah. I like Drew Aller. I'm good. I think he's got a bright future. I can't wait to see him with NFL coaching and watching him get a little bit bigger, and I'm down with it.
Exactly.
And
he's pretty good size anyway. You're talking about the Penn State quarterback from Medina.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And the killer is they're primarily run the ball. They don't really pass a whole lot when you think about it.
Sounds like J.J. McCarthy.
Possibly.
My question is, when the draft comes around for him, where is he going to be?
Well, yeah, and there are only so many good quarterbacks in any draft whenever you're going to come out. And, you know, idea, Angelo, I like the idea of drafting a young quarterback, but can you get the guy you want? That's the question.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's like, I think he could go in lower first round if somebody's looking at him for a, you know, in their eyes, a sleeper, but he definitely would go by the second round, that's for sure. And the only thing I look at with it is, it's not just his stats, but his personality. He's got his head put on straight. He's a good kid. He's not trying to be famous or anything like that. He just wants to play football, win, and have fun. And I think being a hometown kid, it'd be even better, you know, from that standpoint.
Or worse.
I don't know. Angela, ask Brian Hoyer how that went.
Yeah. Then again, ask Bernie Kosar how that
went. I still get mad about the Brian Hoyer stuff. I mean, we ran him out of town for Johnny Manziel. Come on, man.
7-4, Andy. 7-4.
Pay the man. Remember that on Thursday night? Pay the man.
I do remember that.
Yeah.
You okay with letting him sit?
I would prefer it. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing. I am with you guys with Drew Aller. I think Drew Aller can sling it. I think he's not throwing at anybody, but I think he needs to sit.
Which is just fine.
I think he needs to sit for a year.
Don't you think? That's just fine.
No, I think that's the way to go.
All of us are really good at saying that when it's not an actual thing. But the minute you get in there and your quarterback, veteran quarterback, whether it's Jameis, whomever else, starts struggling, Now all of a sudden everybody start going, we need to see Allen. We got to see the kid. We got to see what we have here. Like it turns into that so fast that you lose track of the timeline, that it just starts turning into instant gratification. So like if you're into that idea, remember you're into that idea.
By the way, Medina now in the Suburban League.
Yeah, did you see a couple changes yesterday?
They have 97,000 students at Medina.
Who was the other? There was
good
another
luck,
team.
Good luck, rest of Suburban League.
Kenston? Was it Kenston? Who jumped over
and
somebody?
Mayfield.
And Mayfield? Oh, wow.
Yep, and Mayfield. Chris is in Cleveland. Hi, Chris.
Hey, good afternoon, fellas.
Hey.
And to you.
I want to talk a little Browns. First of all, I agree with Jeff wholeheartedly. I think people are still thinking about Jameis's past, and really it was really one that really bad season. But for this year, Jameis Winston has played in four games in which he finished one, and he has seven touchdowns and three interceptions. And all three interceptions came in one game. And I really believe that was against a team that the Browns weren't prepared for. They didn't think that the Chargers would be as good as they were on defense and weren't prepared for it. The team wasn't prepared for it. In comparison, if you were to look at Patrick Mahomes has played all season. He has 15 touchdowns, but he also has 11 interceptions. So I think we should give the guy the rest of the season, give him an opportunity to see if he can earn that starting job, because he is a starting quarterback. It just depends on who's going to use him. I don't think he's a backup, and I really don't agree with Cool Ray about anything about Deshaun Watson. He's been here 3 years and hasn't even thrown 300 yards in one season. I mean, in one game.
Right.
So I agree with Jeff. Give a man an opportunity. Don't think about the past. Think about how he's moving the team right now. And I think as coaching goes along with the rest of the team, at least for the rest of the season is pretty much lost. But do we have an opportunity to turn the team around? You got a really good quarterback there, man. He's thrown three interceptions in one game. The rest of the season, he's been well.
Chris, one thing about this, too, as compared to what we had with Joe Flacco last year, we're going to get a longer look at this.
Yeah.
You know, that's – Joe had – what, five games and a playoff game where we had a really good look at him, and he was terrific, but he was also, you know, older. Jameis is still a pretty young guy. We're going to get some more games to look at. I just hope people don't decide right now in their mind, nope, this isn't going to work. Let it play out. You know, let it play out. We have a lot more time to go here. Chris, thank you.
I agree, man.
Appreciate that. That was Chris. He agreed with me, so I liked him.
That's right.
Tom's in Cleveland. Okay. Thomas.
Friend of the show then, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Hey.
Hey, what's up, Tom?
Oh, hi, am I on? Yeah, I was just I was calling because I kind of one of you guys said that last year you heard that Joe Flacco, when he was a quarterback, everybody was happy.
Yeah,
you know, things were going things were going good. Well, if the people in the front office can't recognize that and they can't see that, and you know, for my entire 38 years growing up, Cleveland, they've always been, you know, the clowns and always been the laughing stock of the NFL. And, you know, it's if the people in the front office can't see that when you have a good thing going, and they couldn't even manage to keep Joe Flacco, which is kind of like, you know, the guy did so good, took us, you know, came in and stepped in and threw, you know, he was better than Deshaun Watson at the time. At least he wasn't afraid to throw the ball down the field and stuff like that.
Tom, let me throw this at you, though, okay?
Yeah.
Maybe the front office did see that, and they wanted a younger version, and they brought in Jameis Winston for exactly what you're talking about.
Well, yeah, and I see that point. I just think that maybe we should have three, you know, quarterbacks on the roster that, you know, since we have that, you know, we have that problem every year.
Here's what I'll say. They couldn't exist in a world with Joe Flacco and his success and the cash behind Deshaun Watson. Let's just be super honest about this. That's that makes more sense.
People weren't screaming for Jameis when Deshaun wasn't doing well. You can be sure they would have been screaming for Flacco.
Yes.
In fact, we heard him on our phones.
And, you know, I whatever they want to do to move forward, I agree with the last caller. You can't look in the past. You can't be like, oh, this is what they've always done. This is what we've always done. We got to find something that works. And, you know, Jameis Winston, he's the best thing we got right now. So I would just stick with him for this year and maybe look at a draft prospect, a quarter. You know, we got to do something. But that's all I wanted to say.
All right, Tom, thank you very much. Just in case everybody's wondering, Jameis turns 31, January 6th.
Oh, well, happy early birthday.
Yeah, which means, Andy, I mean, easy 5 years, right?
Yeah, the question is he a backup or is he going to be somebody's starter?
Well, we'll find out.
Hey, you rattle off wins at the end of the season, you're going to be somebody's starter.
Andy, you rattle off numbers like he's running off now, he's going to be somebody's starter. I mean, if he can back up what he's done in three games the rest of the way, he's going to be somebody's starting quarterback.
You've got to get to the red zone and you've got to put it in, though. I mean,
yes, you're right. But if he does that and they win games, well, he's going to be somebody's starter who's going to get a good contract.
I agree.
And maybe price himself out of here.
I mean, he's got a tough road ahead of him here. That's for sure.
Marcus is in Aurora. Marcus.
Hey, Marcus.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Yeah, I think Winston, I mean, deserves consideration for next year. He's played fairly well, you know, considering that he sat a lot. And, you know, Stefanski, probably one of the reasons why he's played well. And I think they're better off going with Winston and Watson. Just forget about it. I mean, I don't know how anybody still insists that he can play because it's over for him. But if you keep Winston, you draft the best available player next year in the first round, or you trade down if you don't like what's around. Well, you got to trust the scouts with that. But you could probably get maybe a quarterback prospect in the third or fourth round. I don't see anybody taking Quinn Ewers or some of those guys in the first round. Them guys might be around in the later rounds. And Aller could actually fall down later. Because if you're a bad team, I don't think you're picking Aller in the first round. So that's my take. I think they could probably
Marcus, I tend to agree with you on that. But I also think that, like, in the NFL, a lot of times they think they're really, really smart when it comes to quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And yep. I think that could drive up his stock a little bit more. They'll be like, well, he had this or that. It's not like he had, you know, Ohio State's receiving core or blah, 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 whatever. You know what
yeah,
I'm saying?
Right.
And sometimes we end up, and then you start hearing about quarterbacks out of nowhere that you're like, you know, I never watched South Dakota play or South Dakota State. Right. And all of a sudden, this guy's the next big thing. And they're like, oh, okay, well, we believe
it. And some of these guys are afraid that if they don't pick him, someone else will take him. And he's going to light it up.
True.
I agree with everything you said. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you, Marcus.
Marcus. Thank you very much. 216-474-0092 is the number to join us. NFL Rapid Fire is coming up at noon. Chris Rose at 12:20. We're going to go heavy Cavs at 1 o'clock. Gary Washburn from the Boston Globe, who's been with us before, is going to join us at 1. It's Baskin and Phelps right here on The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
That's Andy Baskin. I'm Jeff Phelps. Welcome back to our show. If you're just tuning in, thank you. Appreciate that. NFL Rapid Fire at noon. Chris Rose, 12:20. We'll talk Cavs, Celtics with Gary Washburn from the Boston Globe coming up at 1 o'clock. Interesting news today from CNBC as the Cavaliers getting ready to try and bring a WNBA team to Northeast Ohio. And it's more than just speculation when you get guys quoted in the story about it. And Cavs CEO Nick Barlage has been by CNBC. Nick says this: we have this unique convergence of infrastructure, culture, and these foundational pieces that we think make Northeast Ohio, and specifically Cleveland, a great place, great opportunity, to expand from a WNBA perspective. And he points out a real valid point. Cavs and the Cleveland Clinic are creating the Performance Center.
Yeah.
Well, that leaves a practice facility sitting right there in Independence that the Cavs own. It could be a WNBA practice facility tomorrow.
Why wouldn't they practice at the new one, though?
Because if you've been to the old place.
Yeah.
It's spectacular.
Oh, that's true.
Wouldn't you love to have your own place?
Yeah, that's true. I'll give you that.
I mean, the whole thing could be a WNBA facility.
You share that with the Charge then, probably, right?
That's a good question, too. You know, if this were to come to fruition, the Rock Entertainment Group would own 3 professional basketball teams in town.
Mm-hmm.
So they could use all the practice facilities they could get, couldn't they?
That's true. That's a good point. You can never have enough gym time.
Do you think this would fly here?
Yeah, I the Rockers were the Rockers played 220 games in their existence from 97 to 03. And really, and the Rockers went away in 03 because didn't Gilbert come in and then they just kind of I'm trying to remember when was the sale. It had to have been around there because I was still doing hang on, let me look. I just think now is the right time. It may not have been the right time when he first bought the team, but now seems to be the right time when he first bought the Cavaliers. I'd be interested in it. I'm wondering how many fans from around Northeast Ohio would be. That's
would you support a WNBA team, folks? I mean, we had one here before. It had, I think, decent support. I wouldn't call it overwhelming. And it's interesting that the Cavs organization is going for it when other NBA owners are thinking that the investment in the WNBA isn't paying off for them. I think that's interesting. I don't know that it's a reason not to go for it because you probably think you can do it better. And maybe they can. But other NBA owners are not real crazy about the money that they've pumped into the WNBA. And I know part of it is that, and you know, this is just the way it works in labor negotiations, and it's labor negotiations with the WNBA.
So the Guns had, I just want to correct myself. The Guns had the team the whole time, and then they went away while the Guns were still here. So. They folded after the 03 season, and the league wasn't able to find new ownership for the team at that point.
So you have a league that's supporting the WNBA, and WNBA talking about, you know, we want charter flights, and they're getting them, and more salaries and everything else, and blah, 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 blah. And some NBA owners don't think that's a real good idea. I wonder if it becomes more profitable for these folks, because you can... You know, players can scream and yell all they want in any sport that we deserve more pay, we deserve this, we deserve that. Okay, you do if you're bringing in money. And you know, so if the ownership of the Rock Entertainment Group, which is Dan Gilbert, if they think they can make money with this because A, they have a television venue that they're starting themselves, that you can only imagine the Cavs are going to be on eventually. I mean, why else are you doing it, right? Mm-hmm. Ultimately, why else are you doing it? And then you have, you know, a developmental league team, G League team. You have a hockey team. You might as well fill up your buildings because now you have several buildings. You're building a practice facility. You own a practice facility in right. Independence. And you have an arena with empty dates in the summertime. But it does still come down to, are you making any money?
So, I mean, just a quick read on WNBA. Again, this news just kind of came down today. The NBA provides the WNBA an annual endowment of $15 million to help cover operating costs, and only 5 of the 30 NBA teams own WNBA teams. So there's other ownership groups in there. And so, I mean, that's why you've
absolutely.
Got like, that's why they don't all play at their arenas, too. That's the other thing.
Right, but just the NBA, some of the NBA folks have said, yeah, this isn't working out real well for us.
More than Dolan, or just
no? He's not alone.
Okay, I think it'd be cool. I mean, it'd be cool for us to have a WNBA team again. It's sometimes it's not about the team; it's about the dates and what it means for the venue and what it means for the city and what it means for jobs and things like that. I know we're into it because we want to see teams win championships, but this is also a good time to hop in on the WNBA. They are, you know. They've got a great television contract right now. And by the way, Jeff, I don't even know if Dan's group is going to be able to broadcast those games if all the other games are picked up by this new television contract they have. So, but I agree that you know, having his own television network here in town now should make a difference if there's a chance for ancillary programming or there's a chance to do some kind of a regional tie to air their games.
I would agree with that. So we'll see. You know, what you have is a very active owner who's willing to spend a lot of money on things. And it's more than just one team. You're accumulating assets here.
Will you support it? That's my question. I mean, will fans support it? Do you think fans will come out and watch this team during the summer? Summer's a tough time, too. I mean, we know, you know, when the Guardians aren't good and the weather's good and everything else is good, sometimes it's tough to get fans to come down to the ballpark during the middle of the week. But last year was great, and if they're playing good baseball, we know fans will come.
Yeah,
I'm assuming that if they play good basketball, fans will come. I think fans will come to see Caitlin Clark. We saw what they did with the Women's Final Four. Fans came out for that. You know, it was a lot of fun. And so now you've got this little bit of a track record. You knew what your team did before. And you can prove to the league, to the WNBA, that, hey, maybe Cleveland deserves a franchise. Cleveland wants to get back in the game on this.
League's doing nothing. It's the league's not going away, and it's doing nothing but getting bigger, I would assume, in the years ahead. And obviously, you know, Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark, this rookie class, and the success of women's college basketball, everything leads to that. Let me just throw it out again, though, Andy, and you said it. Will people support it? It has to be supported. You know, you're not going to have a league just because you want to have a league. It has to make money for the people who own the teams.
So in 1998, the Rockers drew 10,000. They had attendance high. Their biggest attendance of the season was 10,350. Then in 99, they had a game against Washington where they had 20,000 fans at that game. But as you look at the last three seasons they were here, they averaged just over 9,000, just over 9,000 in 01, 02, and then 03, they dipped to 7,400 a game. Are you expecting minor league attendance numbers? I mean, I think those are better than some minor league baseball attendance numbers, but those are, you know, they're minor league numbers. Although, there's been times at the ballpark.
Don't call it minor league because people will get mad at you?
Attendance. I'm talking about the attendance. I'm not talking about the team.
But don't call it minor league. Even though it's an offshoot. Do you know what I mean? It's right now the WNBA is not NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Might it get there one day? Maybe. And that's where I keep going back to the economics, Andy. And you know, if Dan Gilbert wants to buy a team, well, he's got more money than he knows what to do with. He can certainly afford to have a team that might not generate the money that he's looking for and support a loss. But with everything that they have going for them, with a facility and everything else, I would think at the very least they could break even, right?
Mm-hmm.
And package it with everything else that they have.
Please don't get me wrong. I don't think it's the competition level is not minor league.
Everything else is.
Attendance numbers
fair about
it.
That.
Yeah,
right now it is. It might, if they keep growing it, it could become huge. Could become huge, and that's great. That would be wonderful. But right now, let's not be delusional. It's not the NBA. It's not Major League Baseball. It's not the NFL. But might it be able to get into that conversation one day? Yeah, maybe. You never know.
I think it's fair. I'm trying to compare the numbers that the Rockers had to what the Monsters have right now.
I wouldn't. I think that's a futile exercise to try to compare where the WNBA was in the 90s with the Rockers and all that kind of stuff to where it would be now. I mean, that's tough. That's a tough comparison because we see women's sports so much better now than we did in the 90s.
It's a different world. Sure.
It's a different world, and it's a different talent level on top of that.
NFL Rapid Fire coming up next here on Baskin and Phelps. Get ready, folks. Here we go.